So if you were here last week, you're most probably going to hear something similar this week. But I felt like I wanted to continue a little bit with the theme that we had last week. And it's not really a preach, it's really me going to share and some other people are going to share a little bit. But sermon, or this morning, is called Your Church Needs You. And I wanted to print one of those pictures. You all can see it now. You know, in the American Army, there's a guy standing and he's pointing at you and he says, American Army needs you, you know. Your church needs you. So I want to start telling you a story. Mario, I'm going to use Mario quickly as an example. Mario's got four kids, okay. So one day Mario says to me, will you look after Faith? And I go, yes, I will, you know. But by the end of the day, I lost Faith. But I lost her, and she's gone. I go to Mario, and I go, hey, Mario, I looked everywhere for her, but I lost her. I don't know where she is. I can't find her. Mario, what will your response be to me? I think you'll be more than disappointed. You must probably want to throttle me by that stage and kind of... And I go, Mario, you know what? It's not a problem, my friend. You still got three. The odds are not against you, you know? You got three more. You know, lose one, who cares? It's not that bad. The thing is this, that each one of us, we are very important to Jesus. Jesus uses a parable where he says that, you know, leave the 99 to go look for the one. And this morning I want to show you the significance of the one. We always look at the significance of the crowd and the group, and we think there's X amount of people in the church, so it's a healthy church. Healthy church consists of individuals that each walk in their own destiny. That is what healthy church looks like. And I think something that we've always looked at as a church, Josh Jane specifically, is that you are important. So this morning I want to look at this verse quickly in John chapter 6, verse 9. I'm not going to be very long. I'm going to allow other people to talk a little bit. We know the story. Jesus has been preaching and there's 5,000 men, the Bible says. Now, usually we know in those times they only counted the men. That means they could be women, they could be children. They must be children because there's a boy that we see here. So we could assume there could be anything between 15 and even maybe 20,000 people right there that Jesus is preaching to. And he perceives that they are hungry and he asks his disciples and they all go. I mean, I don't know who answered him. Maybe Judas. Somebody answered him and said, but we would need 200 denarii to go buy food for everybody. This is a lot of McDonald's that we need. So it's not a little bit to feed everybody. And one of his disciples comes to him and he says, there is a boy. And I think it's very significant. Even as I was driving here, I don't think I made an emphasis on the fact that it was a boy. But even this is a young child that's there. And he brought his lunch. And his lunch consisted of 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. That's what he had. And he says that there's this boy who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they for so many? And maybe you even asked this morning, what am I for so many? What can I bring? I have 5 barley loaves. I have 2 fish in my hand. That is what I have. There is a tremendous need. People are hungry. People are starving of food, of hunger. They don't have food right now. What can my 5 barley loaves and my 2 fish do? Well, in the hand of God, we see that Jesus took it, he blessed it, and what he did then is he asked his disciples, you go now, hand it out to them. Fed everybody. And then there were 12 baskets full at the end of the day. More than enough. So even though you feel like you as an individual might be insignificant, I want to tell you right now, you are very, very significant in the big scheme of things. In the economy of God, you are very, very important. Each person in the church is very, very important. So you're not just sitting here this morning, well, perhaps, or, well, it sounded like a good idea to maybe come here. There's a specific reason why you are here. So last week we had two different people, and this week I've asked some more people. I don't know, so who wants to go first between the two of you? Well, jullie eers te gaan. Okay. So the Redlinghuis, I've asked them, and I've asked Ria to just come and share their personal journey in the life of the church, but also their little personal journey as how God has used them, you know. So, yeah, that's what we want to do now. And so you guys can use that mic. Just don't touch it too much. And that's pretty much it. So, over to them.
Goeiemôre almal. Die wat my nie ken nie, ek is Petra Redelinghuis. Nou, ons journey het so 5 plus minus 5 jaar terug begin by Josh Chen. En dis wonderlik hoe die Here ons hier gebring het. Ons was uitgenooi deur vriende om die kerk te kom besoek. En daai tyd toe het ons deur 'n challenge gegaan. En ons het die dag ingekom by Josh Chen en onmiddellik het ons die presence van die Here gevoel in die, toe ons instap daar. En ons het gevoel soos in welkom en die mense het ons laat welkom voel. En ek en my man het huis toe gegaan en ons het bietjie gepraat oor dit en daai tyd toe is dit soos in die Here het ons uit die ander kerk uit en ons soek toe 'n kerk. Maar ons het niks uit ons eie uitgedoen en ons het gebid en voor die Here gelê en die Here se leiding gevra wat ons moet doen en hoe ons te werke moet gaan. En wonderlik hoe die Here vir my toe 'n skrif gee in Jeremia 3 vers 15 en dit sê, en ek sal aan julle herders gee na my hart wat julle sal oppas in kennis en verstand. En onmiddellik het ons soos in die confirmation gekry dat hier moet ons wees. En die journey wat ons saam met Josh Geno al is, dit was, daar was uitdagings en in dit alles moes ons maar net ons harte bewaar en maar net op God fokus en hy het self sekere goedjies vir ons uitgesorteer en dis wonderlik om deel te wees van 'n familie. 'n Familie wat daar is vir jou in tye van nood en ook in tye wanneer dit goed gaan. En ons love Josh Chen met al die mense. En ek wil vir Stefan en vir Debs wat nou nie is, baie, baie dankie sê dat God julle uitverkies het. Ek praat nou net spesifiek van ons as gesin om deel te wees van ons as gesin se lewe. En ja, so God is good en ek is dankbaar om bly om deel te wees van die Josh Chen family.
Hi everyone, I believe that all of you guys do understand Afrikaans, but I will try to speak English. My name is Mario, and this is my wife. And just one thing that Peter just spoke about is that the church that we used to be, we still having a, like communication between that church. There's nothing wrong with that because I'm almost once a week at that church, just saying hi and all that stuff. But what I want to say is that I didn't want to be in this church, really. I didn't. I hated. You can ask my wife. At first, the first service, Stefan said something, he prophesied, that the Lord said that some of you guys, people standing in front, and he's about to pray for us, you guys are going to be part of this church. And I sat in my mind, never in a million years will I be part of this church. Really, you can ask my wife. So actually what happened, I fight against that. So I'm a guy who used to like the prophetic and all that stuff, and lots of things happened. And they invited us to a worship conference in Mossel Bay, the Joss Jane Church. And that next Sunday, a lady came, and she was actually just speaking before her husband is about to bring the word. And the Lord spoke to me that morning and said, Mario, you belong here. And it was like something just went on into my heart. And then I said, yes, Lord. But still, I didn't want to listen. And then one night in a dream, I wanted to leave the church because me and Stefan, we had such lots of difference because we used to be in the leadership. He took us off of the leadership and everything is repeating itself again. So I said, listen, you know, I hate this guy. I don't want to speak to him again. I don't want to see him. You can ask my wife and lots of things. And the guy appeared in my dream. So, and that is the thing our God used to do things to manage us, to keep us in this church. Because he and the people in this church is living out their lives for Jesus. And I was actually looking for lots and lots of faults and things and all that stuff. But then I meet the other family in Cape Town, in Willowmore, in George and all that stuff. And I said, the life in this church, you can see there, George Jane Church, dying to live. So God actually renewed the doctrine of the gospel in my mind and said, listen here, Mario, I'm going to break off all that stuff and all the nonsense that you have learned before. And I'm going to let you die to start to live again. God bless you guys.
I didn't prep them to say anything of that. You know, honestly. Yeah, Ria, you can slunk up. I want to say, currently they are serving in the interim to oversee one of our communities. They are running the kids' church at this moment in the life of the church. And again, if they just said no at one point, I don't know. You know, I think our destinies are caught up together. I often think about these things, you know, and I kind of go, Lord, but I don't like that thing. Or I don't like that person. I've been a Christian for 28 years. I've been in communities. And there's always a person in that community, in that life group, in that home cell, that is just irritating you. It's God. It's like God puts a guy in that place that just irritates you. But the Bible says this, that iron sharpens iron, yeah. And friends form one another.
Yeah.
And the picture is this long shoot that used to cast nuts and bolts and things like that. But there's these odd pieces on the nuts and the bolts. And they would throw it down this long chute. And as they roll down the chute, they kind of knock off the odd bits. I mean, if I look in this room, there's a bunch of odd bits sitting in front of me. I'm an odd bit. But we form one another as we are spending time together in the Lord. And that is, for me, the church. And the beauty of the church, that we can actually work these things out. So I've asked Ria to share as well, just her journey in the life of the church as well.
Okay, so I asked Stefan if I could start my journey a bit sooner. Because it really tells a story. If I don't start at the beginning, then we miss some of it. So when I was a little girl, I was about, I think, 6 or 7 years old. And I was in Sub A or Sub B, I think Sub A, because of the teacher that I remember. I had an encounter with God. So I remember we would do our work and then go sit on the carpet, on like our own little carpets, like a winky or a kaiki or something like that. And I think I was a winky. And I was finished first. So I took my mat and I went to sit on the mat. And I remember clearly having a vision and an experience with God where I saw myself sitting, as I sat down, I saw myself sitting down at his feet. And I saw the train of his robe. And I came as a six-year-old. I had this experience where I couldn't wait to come to the end of my life, to be an old woman and die so that I can be with Jesus. That was the most exciting thing in that moment. I was overcome with joy. And to the parents here, I want to encourage you that the way that I came to God was through my mom reading us stories. And also through the pastor that I was in at that church, preaching every Sunday and massaging the gospel in, just going Jesus died for our sins on the cross, and if we confess our sins, He is faithful to forgive. And so that's how I came to God. But the church that I was in, and even in high school, became worse, was very traditional. And when I went to study, it was even worse. It was dead. There was nothing. It was only tradition. So I lost Jesus in that. I remember the moment that I said to God, I was standing in the makeup class in drama school. Makeup was one of our subjects. And I remember the moment where I said to God, something happened, and I said to God, I am taking a break from you. And I thought, when I said that, I thought the break was going to be while I was studying, which is 3 years at that stage. And then I studied a fourth year, and then so 4 years became 10 years. And God really orchestrated my life to move to Oterin. I didn't plan to move to Oterin. I ran away to Oterin because there was nothing left in my life. And my parents were here, and I thought I was just going to come to Oterin for a month to retreat. And then I met some friends, and they were in what at that stage was the River of Life Church, but we consider it Josh Jen from the beginning because we were connected and we had an elder that was sent from Josh Jen. And so through them, I started coming to the church. The first church service that I came to was actually not a service. We had what they called an amazing race. So it was nothing spiritual, nothing. We just ran around town trying to be the first one to come to the right point doing an amazing race. And so what I want to say about my journey in the church is God, obviously, it took a while for me to start clinging to the church. I remember the first person that said to me, so what happened is God set me up and I got baptized with the Holy Spirit. But the first person that said to me, for me to actually commit, I had to be part of a community. And the moment I became part of a community, I committed. And I remember someone WhatsApping me, not a friend, just an acquaintance. And he said to me, so when are you coming to our community? And I remember, this is what I remember so clearly, is when I came in, I didn't answer the SMS, it wasn't SMS at that stage, didn't answer the SMS, didn't say anything. I just remember walking, it was at Sonorf, those big flats. And I remember walking in knowing exactly where the community was, just never going. And all my friends were going there. And as I walked in, they could see me through the window. And I heard them say, Yella, Rio's here. That was hilarious. And so the thing that I remember, the very first thing that struck me when I joined when I went to that community that night, is someone asked Mike, he was leading the community at that stage, Mike the Ofe, a very good friend of mine, a pastor that's now in Cape Town. Someone asked him, so what is the next step after salvation? And I had no clue, even though God has been preparing my heart for that. And Mike's response, I don't even know if he took a breath. He just responded immediately. He just said, water baptism. So it was literally, I was just so convicted. I got water baptized within 2 weeks after I joined that community, which was very traumatic for me to get water baptized. And my journey in the rest of the time. So water baptism was a very big commitment thing for me. So then from that day on, I was part of the church. But my journey that I can say, that I thought of to say now, is in the church for me, life has always been for me in serving. Ruzan and I had a meeting. She said, a conversation. And just before church, we were driving here and we were talking about, because our community is on duty. And I said, in your family, if you don't get up and you make everyone a cup of coffee at some point, or however you do that in your family, or you don't wash the dishes at some point, or you don't take out the rubbish at some point, you're not a part of that family. You're a visitor. You're a guest. So being part of family is serving. And then also the other thing that I want to say, I know serving is a very strong gift, so it's very easy for me to say, but God has grown that gift through serving, and it wasn't easy. The other thing that I want to say about serving is growth is in serving. So that's the thing I want to say. And then I just want to end with a story of how significant I know that I am in this church. I've been in this church for 13 or 14 years now. So I am furniture. If Stefan has a meeting with me, it's happened this week. If he has a meeting with me, he would cancel or put me off for some of you. Because I am very flexible. My time's very flexible. But I know that our relationship is so strong. He knows that our relationship is so strong that I'm not going to be angry if I'm lost in the row for that day. And obviously, I'm on flexi time, so that's very easy. It is easy, possible for me. For some of you, it's not possible. So I'm just saying that's how much I am furniture in this church. I am furniture in Mossel Bay. I am furniture in George. I am furniture in Cape Town. I am almost furniture in PE, in those churches. And so last year, there was this church meeting. What happened is we were on vacation. We were on the other side of the mountain at Tarchnit. And we went through to the park run in George. And I saw a friend of mine, Mr. Chad Lahana, that's the pastor in George, of Joshin in George. Good friend of mine. And he said to me, are you coming to church tomorrow? I said, I'll see. He said, well, Andrew's going to be there. And I was like, oh, and he said, now you're coming. So the next day I went to church because I knew that Andrew was going to be there, Andrew and Ems. And Chad said hello. He pointed out a bunch of people. There were people, visitors, because it was in the school holidays. There were visitors. He was like, hello, John. It's so good to see you from Pretoria. Hello, Mario. It's so good to see you from Mossel Bay. Hello, Carlo. It's so good to see you from PE. And he said hello to everyone except me. He skipped me. But Chad is a good friend. And so my heart didn't go like, But Chad, I don't even think he saw me because I was furniture. And Andrew got up as he started to preach. He took the mic and he started prepping his preach, and he looked me in the eye and he walked to me while he had the mic, while he was like starting his preach. He said, "I just want to give you a hug. Welcome." And he said to me, he said to everyone else, "She's all just Jenna." And so, yeah, I just wanted to, end with that. I'm significant in this church, even though I've become furniture.
Furniture has a use. It doesn't just stand around. Okay, I just wanted to say that as well. The life of a church is usually ABC. It's really that easy. You come, you abide, you become part of a church, you belong in that church, the B. And then the ultimate goal of anybody belonging should be contribution, the C. And that's really what the Lord wants us to do, is that each one of us become not just ones that abide or belong, but actually contribute, that we give of ourselves. That little saying, dying to live, is not just a slogan. Because the Bible says that unless a grain of wheat, a seed, falls into the ground and it dies, it will not yield a crop 30, 60, and 100 fold. If you're a farmer and you work with seed, you'll understand that seed dies first and then it brings life. And that's really what it is. And that's really the essence of the motto that we have, dying to live. Because it's in the dying to myself, to my own understanding of what I think church should be like, to become a contributor and actually yield fruit at the end of the day. I want to conclude with, just remind us, if you're a part of Just Gen and some of you are visitors, I just want to remind you of what God has called us to be. And see, a lot of prophetic words over the years have gone forth that Josh Jen will be something of a blueprint church. And a blueprint is a term that is used for the final drawings of a building or a machine. That's really what it is. Now, it sounds like, wow, why would you guys be a blueprint? What about the church down the road? Why can't they be a blueprint? I don't know. To blueprint something means to build it to the original intent designed. Now, if you read the book of Acts, you will start seeing that the church in Antioch was called a model church. Often they referred to the church in Antioch and said, "That church, they get this right. They get this right." Now, listen, my friends, we don't get everything right. We don't have dips on everything. We don't. But what we strive for as a church is to live according to biblical values. Now, what is a value? I can buy a chair and I say, this chair's value is 100 rand. How do you determine a value? Well, it looks like a sturdy chair or whatever it is. Each one of us, we add value to something. When you say something is valuable to you, I've got an iPhone. iPhones are quite expensive. They are valuable. Okay. I think if I have to buy this phone now, it would cost me about 18,000 to 20,000 rand for this phone. Now, who determined that value? I don't know. Apple? Me? Because I bought it? Because it's a great phone? I don't know. But you determine there's a value. So if you put something to a value and say, that's valuable to me. So the same in the church, we have values. What would be some of our values? Well, biblical preaching and, you know, priesthood of all the believers and all these things. We look at the Bible and we say, it's not a good idea. It's not a Josh Jen idea. I think a lot of people confuse it and say, well, You guys do it because it's a good idea. No, it's not a good idea. It must be a God idea. It must be biblically based. And that is a value. So one of the values is that we want to see a restoration, not just in South Africa, but in the world, honestly, that church would rise up again and that they will live according to biblical values. And that is what God has called you to. You might say, but I'm insignificant. I'm the boy with barley loaves and fish. I don't even know how to, you know, properly pray maybe right now. Or I'm struggling with this. You are valuable to the Lord because He wants you to abide, to belong, and then ultimately to grow up. And that's the thing. You know, Ria could stay and she could abide and she could belong, but at the point she was in the life of the church, she was a deaconess. She helped us when we came here 7 years ago a lot with our administration and things like that. She became a contributor. So ultimately, that's what the Lord wants, not me. I'm not calling you to that. I'm asking you before the Lord. And maybe go do some introspection and say, what has God called me to do? Maybe ask your friends. Ask those people, you know, in your family. What do you think is the gift that God has placed upon my life? And then you start walking into the more of God.